Page 1226, we'll take you to Colossians 3. Let me ask you guys something. Is it possible for a believer to live a stressed out life, yes or no? Is that how God intended us as believers to live, yes or no? No, yes, no, right. God's word is clear that he wants us to live a life of peace. In other words, God wants you, not that everything's going to be great, that's not what I'm saying. You're going to have storms like we just sung about. But God wants you to be able to have inner peace. And there's the thing about that is that peace has to happen within you. It's not, you can't rely on circumstances because those are going to change all the time. You can't rely on people because people are going to come and go in your life. People are going to be there. They may die. People may be there and they'll do you dirty. They'll forsake you. You can't base your peace on people, and you can't base your peace on circumstances. All that changes. You have to base your peace upon your relationship with God, and really, peace comes as a result of choices that we make. Peace is not going to find you. You're going to have to go and find it. You're not going to stumble on peace by accident. If you look at that banner, and everybody say that verse, Psalm 34, 14. Can you say that with me? Seek peace and pursue it. People say, well, I just can't memorize the Bible. Well, could you memorize that verse? Say it again. Seek peace and pursue it. I bet you already memorized it. Let's try it. Close your eyes. Say it again. Seek peace and pursue it. See, you already memorized a verse of the Bible, right? Right here in church. And it's not that hard, you know? And so, if we're going to have peace, we have to seek it. And the way you seek it is you got to have a healthy root system. Picture your heart with roots coming down, going into the soil. Your heart has to have a healthy root system. Now listen to this, okay? Good roots, good fruit. Good roots, good fruit. All right? It's that simple. Good roots come through your choices and your priorities in life. And we've basically been looking at how to have a healthy root system for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And really what it boils down to is T-I-M-E. What does that spell? That's it. It's you carving out time for the things, the essentials in life. It's you carving out time for the right priorities. That's what peace is. A healthy root system comes down to how you spend your time. I know we're all busy. I get that. Every one of us could stand up and tell how busy we are. And it's like, you know, we get, oh, I'm busy because I'm getting ready to get married. Well, after you get married, then it's, I'm busy because I got married, right? And then it's, I'm busy because I'm working. I'm busy because I got this. I'm busy because we got kids now. One day I won't be as busy. And then I have retired people tell me they're busier than they've ever been in their life. So we can all make the excuse we're busy. I'm telling you, it boils down to time. It boils down to time. If you want peace and you don't want stress and you don't want stress calling the shots, it comes down to choices. You got to carve out time to connect with God every day. And we can say, well, I don't have 15 minutes to give to God. But really, how many of you would agree that we all waste time? Come on, be honest. How many of us kill time every day? We kill some time, don't we? Come on. And so it's really priorities. It's not that we don't have 15 minutes to give to God. It's just, it's not a priority. So other stuff fills our time and we say we're busy. You know, we talked about carving out time for, you know, the Bible. And connecting with the Bible, getting that in your heart so that it goes with you wherever you go. And again, it's a time issue. You know, we got to set aside. We could say, I don't have 5 minutes to read the Bible. Do we really not have 5 minutes? Or is it a priority issue? It's connecting. We said that it's time for rest, you know, relaxation. You got to take some time and smell the roses. You got to take some time and you've got to carve out some time for proper rest and relaxation. You've got to take your proper timeouts. We talked about carving out time with your spouse last week and how that you need to have huddle time every day with your spouse. And we said that huddle time, I gave the analogy of a football team and they get together and they huddle before they go run a play. Why do they do that? It's so they're all on the same page. We spent a whole week last week talking about huddle time with our spouse and how important it is that we spend that time connecting with our spouse each day so that we don't drift apart, because that's so easy to let happen. You start drifting apart. And so you got to carve out that time for that huddle time with your spouse. But now what I want to do today is I want to explore that a little bit bigger, and I want to extend that out a little bit, and I want to talk about spending time together as a family. So I want to kind of include that in here, because here's the thing. If a peaceful life is to be pursued, right, and if it's to be found, it has to be a family affair. It's got to be a family affair. I want you to take your Bible and go to Colossians 3. Look at verse 15. It says there, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Can you all say that with me, church? Come on, get with me. What does that say? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What do you think that means? It means let God's peace flood, govern, control, rule your heart. Don't let stress call the shots. He says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. A lot of people struggle relationally because they're stressed out all the time. They're wired up all the time. They're always upset. They're always wired up over something. They're always just full of anxiety. Well, what does that do? That affects every relationship. That affects everything in our life. And God says, let the peace of God rule your heart. Let that govern your heart. And that's God's plan. That's the normal Christian life, is that you let God's peace flood your heart. Now, what's interesting about this, though, right after he says, let the peace of God rule your heart, boom, he goes into a discussion about the family. Look down at a couple verses later, look at verse 18. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. And all that means is that, ladies, you're not going to try to usurp the role as the leader in the relationship. You're going to allow a man to be that leader in that relationship. You're not going to try to usurp that away from him. You're going to allow him to fulfill that God-given desire and that God-given responsibility to be the leader, and you're not going to try to leap over him and usurp that and demean him, okay? So then verse 19, though, is the balance of that. He says, husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them. So we are supposed to love our wives. That means as I lead my wife, I'm not a lording leader, I'm a servant leader. I love her. I want to make decisions for the family that's based upon what's right. Why? Because I love her. I want to be a godly leader for her. See? So she lets me lead, but then I respond back and I reciprocate by saying, okay, I want to love you and I want to lead you in the right way and I want to lead our family in the right way. And then the next verse says, it says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what? It's well-pleasing to the Lord. And then verse 21, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And you know what? I read that right away, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So God then knows that it's very possible for families to get full of that stuff. What do we read about? We read about anger. We read about bitterness. We read about discouragement. All those things we just read about. Right? And so it's very possible for Christian homes, for Christian families, to get filled with the wrong things. And that is stress, lack of peace, anxiety, anger, discouragement, bitterness. All these things can creep into our families and can create a very unpleasant environment. Okay? So if the family is out of joint, then it's going to be very difficult for us to achieve peace in our life, inner peace. Why? Because God built us that way. It's like when I say when the family's out of joint, do y'all get the picture there of out of, how many of you have ever had something out of joint in your body? You know what I'm talking about? You ever have something out of joint? Anybody ever get muscle spasms in your legs? Oh, it hurts. The other day, talking about out of joint, I was coming in the door yesterday. I'm out of joint today. Yeah, I was coming through the door yesterday, and there was a rug on the floor, and the tile was wet from all the rain. And so when I came in real fast, and when I came in the door and bolted in, My feet hit the rug, that mat, and the mat slid, and guess what happened to me? My feet went straight up in the air, and I landed on the tile on my tailbone. I'm out of joint right now, guys. I braced it a little bit with my forearm and elbow. That's out of joint today, too. Man, that hit the tile with full force along with my... Shoo! Everybody feels so sorry for me, I can tell. Just laughing at me, like my wife did, right? Just laughing. But when the family's out of joint, man, it's not good. It's not good, all right? So what do we do about this? Well, family's got to have huddle time. It's basically the same concept as last week, right? Same concept, just like spouses got to have that huddle time. Stay on the same page. Family's got to have huddle time. Time together. So what is that? Well, in your handout, it's going to talk about that. Look at it with me. It says family huddle time means that several times a week, all the members of the family are tuned into the same spiritual channel. Now, I would say try to do it every day, but I don't want to set up a legalistic thing here. There's going to be days probably where it doesn't happen. I understand that. But you need to endeavor to daily try to connect as a family. All right? You got to connect. By the way, there's two words I can use to describe how to have peace, a good root system. Time and connection. You got to have time with God, time in His Word, time with your spouse, time for some R&R. We could also word it, you need to connect with God, you need to connect with your spouse, you need to connect with some R&R, you need to connect with His Word, and then you need to connect, spend some time together as a family. That's huddle time. Life gets busy. Can I get an amen to that, huh? Yeah, life gets crazy. So family members get tuned into a different channel, so to speak. To use a TV analogy, it's as if, okay, in life, Dad, he's tuned in over here. And I'm just using this as an analogy. Dad's tuned into the news. Mom's tuned into the shopping channel. One kid's over here tuned into the Disney channel. Another kid's tuned in over here to ESPN. And so we all get on a different channel. To use the web analogy or your phone, whatever, you know, it's like Dad's on ESPN and one kid's over here on Instagram and another and mom's over here on Facebook, and we all are going different ways. So family huddle time means that we all get tuned into the same channel. We're going to all come together and get tuned in together. Why? It's a time to focus on the Lord together. Look at this verse on the screen. It says, be still and know that I am God. Can you say that with me? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we have problems being still. We've always got something going on, you know? Or there's music going, or we're on our phone, or we're texting, or we're doing this or that. Be still. Just be quiet. Come together as a family. Focus on the Lord. I remember as a kid, I'd go to my grandpa's house every year. And we go to Louisiana, and they lived out in the sticks. And every year, my dad would take his two-week vacation. His parents were passed away. So every year, we went to my mom's parents in Louisiana, way out in the sticks. You know, they didn't have any neighbors. It wasn't a neighborhood. It was just out in the woods. And they lived in what my wife, I asked her earlier, I said, how would, in the 8:30 service, I was telling this. I said, honey, how would you describe my grandparents' house? And she said, a shack. It was a four-room shack, literally. Okay, had the old-fashioned aluminum roof, and it was just a shack. It was like just a little shack. And we would go there for 2 weeks. And I remember going there, and my granny, she knew the Lord, and she prayed every day for her family. Me and my family, we didn't know the Lord. The Lord wasn't part of our life. And I remember going to her house. She was such a godly woman. And I remember, regardless of whatever was going on, it did not matter. At bedtime, she would call anyone who was staying under her roof into the living room. And we would all come into her little living room. She would kneel down beside the couch, and we would all kneel down. And my granny would start praying. And she would pray, and she would cry out to God. And she would beg the Lord to do things. And it was so impactful to me. As a kid, some of you grandparents, maybe you'll have your grandkids here for 2 weeks or a week. You ought to try that. Come together at the end of the day. And I remember as a kid thinking to myself two things. Number one, why are we going to bed at 8 o'clock at night? Because they were country people, man. When the sun started to set, it was time to go to bed, you know. I mean, why are we going to bed at 8? And then the second thing I remember thinking is just how, I don't know, just I'd never heard anyone talk to God that way before. And she would get to praying loud, and they always had outside dogs, you know. And I remember she'd get to praying, oh, dear Lord, oh, I pray for my family. And she'd get to praying, and the dogs would start going, oh, oh, outside, you know. It was the country. It was all still and quiet, and all you'd hear is them dogs, you know. And when she'd get to praying, they'd start going, oh, you know. And you know what that was? She didn't call it that, of course, but it was huddle time. It was like, you know what? The ladies have been in the kitchen cooking most of the day. Maybe the guys have been out hunting and fishing. The kids have been off playing together. But we're going to all get in the same room, and we're going to spend some time together. And we're going to focus on the Lord. And it was so impactful. It's a time to not only focus on the Lord, it's time to rejoice together. You know, there's a verse here. I'll bring it up. It says, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Something good happens in your life, you share it with the other family members, and they all get happy. You know, and that's a good thing. You share your blessings. Share your blessings. The kids say, I made an A on my test today. Well, that's a good thing, right? I remember Denise would say, I got a blessing. I got to buy one, get one free on roast today. And we all rejoiced when she said that, man. Buy one, get one free on roast. We're going to eat good, man, this week. And then the third thing is, it's a time to bear one another's burdens in prayer. Look at this verse on the screen. It says, bear you one another's burdens. Bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, you're going to be a better believer by helping others bear their burdens. You're going to help them be a better Christian. And so you come together and you share prayer requests. Real simple. This isn't complicated stuff. It's a time to come together and train our children in the way they ought to go. I mean, all of us have things we want our kids to do. We want them to be honest. We want them to have good character. We want them to be hardworking. We want them to love the Lord. We want them to love the local church. We want them to love each other. We want our kids to be kind. We want them to, you know, we've all got things we want our kids to do and be. And so it's a time to train. Look at this verse on the screen. It says in Proverbs 22, train up a child. You got to invest something in them, you know. Train up a child in the way they ought to go. And then when they're old, they won't depart from it. They're going to follow that. And so he says, you know, spend some time with them. It's a time to settle unresolved conflict. When you have family huddle time, it's a time to settle conflict. Remember what we read earlier? Family's reality, God knew it. He used words like discouraged, bitter, angry. These are things that happen in families. God knew it. Families get angry at each other. Families, sometimes members get discouraged with the other family member. They get discouraged. Sometimes we get bitter at each other. So it's a time when you're not connecting for weeks, then that you nurse all those grudges. But when you're coming together each day, it's a time to get that stuff settled, because there's a verse. Look at this verse. Great advice. It says, be you angry and sin not. Well, how do I sin? It's when I let that stuff fester in me. Notice he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, what he's saying there, don't go to bed mad. Get it right before you go to bed. There's a lot of couples, they get mad and they stay mad. And because they stay mad and they never get it settled, they never talk it through, they never communicate and get it settled, then it festers and they get bitter at each other. And sometimes it gets to where it's really hard to fix, because so much has gone so unresolved for so long that it's just almost gets to where it's unfixable. So he says, the way you deal with that is you connect every day as a family and you get that stuff settled. You get it out, you air it out, and you get it settled. So really what I just gave you, if you want to jot this down in your handout, I really gave you 5 key words to do in huddle time as a family. If you want to write them down, there they are. And that just kind of summarizes it in 5 words. Focus, right? Focus on the Lord. Rejoice. Share your blessings with each other. Pray together. Pray for each other. Share your prayer requests. Parents, train. Spend a little time training. And then number 5, forgive. Just give forgiveness to each other for where you might have wronged each other. Those 5 simple words there to kind of help you, give you some guidance. And can I say this to you? That family huddle time does not necessarily mean that you're sitting at a table or that you're sitting in the living room. It means spending time together. So you may end up going to the beach. You may go to a park. You may go swimming together. But you can do all this while you're doing that. So it doesn't always have to just be something around a table. You can play a game together. You can do things together as a family, do fun things together. And so that's family huddle time. Now, next thing, whose responsibility is family huddle time? Well, let me just share this with you before I answer that. There was God's people in the Old Testament was Israel. I want you to get a picture with me for a minute. Imagine this over here is where they were. That was Egypt. Okay, so they're in Egypt. God leads them out of Egypt, out of the slavery of Egypt, and God takes them. Imagine this platform is the wilderness. So God's going to take them from Egypt into the wilderness. Then they're going to leave the wilderness, and imagine this over here is the land that God was going to give them. It's a new land area called Canaan land. So God's going to take them from Egypt into the wilderness, into Canaan land. Now, when they're in the wilderness, their kids are going to be insulated from anti-God ideas. They're going to be insulated from ungodly influences because they're in the wilderness. But when they leave the wilderness and they enter into Canaan land, they're going to be surrounded by ungodliness. Because the Canaanites, where they were going, these people were very wicked. Very, very much. Their kids would be infiltrated with anti-God ideas. These people were so wicked in Canaan that they were so into heathen idol worship, they would take their babies and they would throw them into the fire and offer them to their gods. They worshiped multiple gods. So these were, they would do sexual practices that were unimaginable. They were so lewd and lascivious and wicked. So when they left the wilderness and they went over here, how were they going to protect their kids from this type of ungodly pagan influence, much like we have in America today? Well, God gave Moses instructions to give them. And how many of y'all remember that verse where God said, "And thou shalt have a youth group, and thou shalt have Awana clubs, and thou shalt have..." Y'all remember that verse? You know why you don't remember it? It's not there. Do you know God's plan wasn't Awana clubs, and it wasn't junior churches, and it wasn't youth groups? And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but that wasn't God's plan to protect the kids. You say, well, what was God's plan? The parents. It was the parents. And let me tell you what Moses told the parents. Look in your handout, Deuteronomy 11:19. It's on the front of your handout. He says, "And you," and he's talking to the parents, "you parents shall teach them," God's commandments, "to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise up." God's plan, Moses takes the responsibility and he puts it square on the shoulders of the parents for the spiritual health of their children. He says, teach is the assignment, everyday life is the setting, with God's truth being systematically communicated from the parents to the kids. He talks about in Psalms about how that the parents have to show their kids the praises of the Lord and they have to teach them God's commandments. You have to prepare the generation to come. And he's talking to the parents. You say, well, Pastor Dan, that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Look in your handout, Ephesians 6:4. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Can somebody tell me who did God give that responsibility to teach our kids the way of the Lord? He said fathers. He could have said parents. He could have said church. He said fathers. Now, why would God give dads that responsibility? And here's why. Because dads, especially spirit-filled dads, make good coaches. I think that everyone recognizes that. Whenever you have little league or you've got football or whatever, it's always the dads who are the coaches. Dads make good coaches. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about sports. Dads are great to be able to teach their kids how to fix the car. Now, my kids didn't get much help there, let me tell you. My kids learned how to get their car fixed, and that's you drive it to a mechanic, right? They learned that from dad, for sure. But, you know, a dad can teach their kid woodworking or whatever it may be. But dads are so good about, you know, passing that on to their kids. And the beauty of that is that when kids are little, they really want to listen. They really want to hear. They really believe that dad knows. Now, when they get to be teenagers, they're not sure dad knows anything, right? But when they're little, they think, my little grandson's three, he thinks Clint, his dad, hung the moon. He thinks he hung the moon. He wants to imitate and do everything Clint says. He's teachable. He's very coachable because he just thinks dad's the greatest. So you get them when they're young, see? And he says, dads, you make good coaches. And your kids will listen to you. You need to pass this stuff on to them. Teach them. And basically, what it is, it's coaching on a spiritual level. And I think kids like that. They want that. They do. My kids always wanted me to coach it when they did sports. And I used to say, well, I'm a pastor. I can't always be there on Wednesday night. I'll be at your games, but I can't commit to coaching because of my responsibilities at the church. Well, one day they were a dad short, and so Denise kept saying, come on, Dan, come on. You volunteer. Honey, I can't. I got the church. And come on, volunteer. Finally, Denise just went. She just grabbed my arm, lifted it up. And so I thought, well, when I tell them I can't be there all the nights and all that, they'll tell me, well, we understand. Probably it'd be better if you don't. I said, I can't be there on Wednesday nights and blah, blah, blah. They said, oh, that's fine. We'll work with you. I thought, oh, great. Here we go. But I loved it. I coached for years after that. Coached my kids. And they kids want that. They do. They want that. And here's the beauty of it, guys. Dad does not have to be a world-class theologian. You don't have to be a scholar to do this. God gives the dads the coach's hat, and you just simply pass on the faith. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be sinless. Listen, we are only a failure in God's eyes if we don't try. That's it. We're only a failure if we don't try. So you got to get in the game. You got to try, you know? And I'll say this. If dad isn't on God's team yet, then it's fine for mom to head up family huddle time. If dad won't do it or dad's not on God's team yet, mama can do it. In fact, one of the greatest young men in the Bible, look what it says. Let's bring it up on the screen. Timothy. He says, wherefore, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, Timothy, and then notice, which dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. And so obviously Timothy's dad wasn't there in the picture. And so, boom, mom and grandma took up the slack, did a great job with Timothy. In your handout, it says, if our children are to experience peace, they must be taught the ways of the Lord. And if that is to happen, it has to come through mom and dad. There's nothing more powerful than when mom and dad does it. I was telling the early service, this isn't complicated stuff here. All right, look, if literally dad, all you do is you grab a Bible, you sit at the dining room table, and you sit there like this, and you open up, and you go to Matthew, and you read a verse, and you say, okay, kids, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you look at your kids, and you say, you know, I believe that. God's right. We need to love him with all of our heart. And you know what? Kids, your dad loves the Lord. I'm not perfect, but I love God. I love Jesus. And you know what? We want you to love Jesus too. If that's all you do, that is so much more powerful than anything they'll ever hear up at church, because they're hearing it from dad. Powerful. This isn't complicated. If you just read a verse and say, I agree with that, that is powerful, powerful, powerful. In fact, did you know statistics show 80% of church young people, if they're not getting any instruction at home, spiritual instruction, 80% of young people will grow up in the church, go through the youth group, and they'll bolt from the church at 18 or 19 years old. 80% if they're not getting anything at home. When they are getting it from home, the statistics go the other way. And they do stick with the faith. And they don't forsake the church. Parents, what I'm saying is, I'm a pastor, but I'm telling you, me, Pastor Rob in the youth group, the Awana Club teachers, the junior church teachers, we cannot substitute you. We can't substitute you. There is no substitute for mom and dad. Let me give you some practical suggestions, because this is, again, it's not rocket science, all right? Number one, in your handout, it says, just want to get real practical. Use variety. And what I mean by that is, you don't have to be sitting at the table every night reading the Bible. In other words, one night you might read a Bible story. Another night you might share an event from your past, use it as a teaching tool. Another night you might share something that happened that day at work and share it with the kids. You know what happened and how you either responded right or wrong, and use it as a teaching tool. You know, you might want to just do some fun things together. Like I said, go to the beach, and on the way to the beach or at the beach, thank God for the ocean. Do some teaching on creation. You may want to just, you know, let them read a verse. Get their thoughts on this verse. What do you think this verse says? All right, use variety. Number two, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Write that in there. Keep it simple. This isn't complicated. It's really basically, you know what family huddle time is, guys? It's spending time together as a family, period. All right? It's doing what my grandma did. It's getting everybody together once a day. If you can't do it once a day, several times a week, it's just getting everybody together and getting them on the same page, spending some time together. It's spending time together. Keep it simple. This isn't complicated. Number three, pray together. You know, maybe each night have a different family member pray. Lead in prayer. That's kind of cool. I remember when my kids were little, and we used to do that. And I remember my little one, Caleb. He was probably 3, 4, 5 years old. We were trying to teach him how to pray. We said, Caleb, would you like to lead the family in prayer tonight? He went, yes, sir. And I said, okay, you pray. And so he started praying. And, of course, Clayton and Clint are his brothers. And so he started praying, and he went, dear Lord, help Clayton not to be mean to me anymore. Dear Lord, help Clint not to pinch my cheeks anymore. And Lord, help Clayton to quit hitting me. And he just started railing on each member of the family. He just started nailing every one of us as he went. So we stopped him and we redirected his prayer life a little bit. And we used that as a teaching tool to teach Caleb how to pray. So that's what you do. You teach him how to pray. Number four, use the classroom of everyday life. Okay? Deuteronomy 11:19, we read it earlier, right? When you're look at that verse again. Turn your hand out over to the front. See that verse? Look at it again. Look at that. It says, you're going to teach your kids the commandments of God. How? Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you're out on a walk, when you lay down, when you rise up. I mean, you could add in it when you're at the park, when you're at the beach, when you're on your way to school, when you're, you know, I mean, you could go on and on. But what he's saying is, use the classroom of everyday life. And if you look for teachable moments, you'll find them. And it's very powerful. And then number five, make it a priority on your calendar. Hey, guys, if mom and dad doesn't make it happen, it's not going to happen. Let me give you a statement in your handout there at the bottom. It says, families, this is so good. Families who are regularly huddling together and finding the Lord together are strong. It's that simple. Because you know what happens? This is the super glue that keeps you stuck together. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and a lot of you in here could amen this. A lot of you raised your kids up already, and you could amen this. Maybe you made mistakes. Maybe you didn't do this, and you could amen me. Some of you did do this. But if you don't have that super glue of togetherness, the natural tendency of our busy personal lives are for families to fly apart. That's the tendency, is that, boom, we fly apart in every direction. We all are going our separate ways. We're all doing our own thing, and we fly apart. It's very important. You say, well, my life is so busy and it's so full. I just can't seem to get the family together. Because our lives are so full, that's why we must do it. The storms will intensify many times in your life, the storms will intensify. But you can build your own little island of sanity in your house if each day you'll spend time together and focus on the Lord together. Let me give you two statements to end this series. You ready? Number one, stress has little to do. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I want to reiterate. Stress has little to do with external pressure. It comes from internal disorder. Remember the picture of the messed up room, the messy room? And we said that room didn't get messy because it's windy outside. That room got messy because of internal disorder. Same is true in our life. And then the last statement says, peace is restoring order to our inner man. Peace is when God restores order within. And again, it's by carving out time for these important things in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, church.